Happy Father's Day for all you fathers. Okay, I'm not a preacher. I guess I would be a speaker. I'm a teacher for a living, so if you expect me to be preacherly, you can pretty much forget that. Of course, you're used to Jim, so I don't need to explain any of that. Jim called me this morning on the way here and prayed with me, which was really nice. He's just a super guy. Okay, a guy walks into the bar. You know, that's how most jokes start. And he's trying to make some conversation, so he looks at the guy beside him, and he's not a very good conversationalist, so he says, "Man, look at that woman over there. She has got to be one of the ugliest women I've ever seen in my life." And the guy says, "Hey, man, that's my wife." And he's trying to think how he can get out of this. So he says, "No, I mean the one beside her." And he says, "That's my daughter." And, you know, sometimes I'm pretty good at doing that kind of stuff too. You know, I can put my foot in my mouth and us dads, sometimes we do that kind of stuff. And some of you women do too. But today is Father's Day, so we're going to talk about fathers a little bit. And how we can maybe be a better father. Because I tend to think we're all sort of, we all have, you know, like the good person and the bad person. And some of y'all, I think you have a lot of good person. My wife tends to have a whole lot of good and a little bit of bad. And then me, I tend to have probably a lot more bad than I do good, and I have to fight to try to hold the bad down and try to bring the good up. And as I get a little older, I tend to start swaying the other way, but still, I struggle with it day to day. But if you ask my kids, if you say, my kids, Cohen and Nina, Cohen is 8 and Nina just turned 6, we started sort of late in life with the kid thing. But if you ask them, you say, what's dad's number one job? And they'll tell you. If you ask them, they'll say to take care of me and Nina or to take care of me and Cohen. And they know that. And we've explained that to them, that that's our number one job as parents, to take care of them. Whatever I need to do, I'll do it, just because that's my job. And when it all comes down to it, guys, the total responsibility comes down to you and I. I tend to think that sometimes in life, some of us guys take the wimpy way out and let our wives take care of a lot of things. But as a whole, the burden rests on our shoulders, not on our wife's shoulders, but on ours. And I think some of us need to step up and be a man. And if we don't realize that the number one person in charge of our family is us, then we need to realize that. And that's not, let me read to you what the Bible says. And I want to read to you a little different excerpts of the Bible, and then we're going to talk about some things that I think apply to it. By the way, I've got the best life group in the church, and I don't know if that offends any of y'all, I'm sorry, but we got the best life group. And I think some of them have been worried about me speaking a lot more than I was worried, because it doesn't bother me. I sort of do it for a living in a roundabout way, but I think they were worried about me saying something crazy and embarrassing them. And so if I do, you know, y'all forgive me. Just go ahead and throw that out up front. Okay, I'm going to read to you in Ephesians 5. We're going to start with 21. Now this will be I'll read a few verses, so please forgive me. But if you want to follow along, Ephesians 5:21, and I'll stop somewhere around 33, I think. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. And the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, now, I say that, and it talks about that part, and I've heard guys throw this out and say, hey, you know, you women, y'all need to bow down to us. You know, God says that we're in charge, so, you know, you wait on me. I'm going to sit here in a chair, and I'm going to watch my show, and you go get me a drink, and you go fix supper, and, you follow my commands. And I don't think that's what it means. I sort of wish it did, but I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means is, guys, we got to step up, and we've got to take charge, and we've got to take the responsibility. Responsibility is not always a fun thing. For those of you that have ever been involved with the military, you always think, well, it'd be real nice to be in charge. And then sometimes when you're in charge, you think, man, I wished I was just a follower again. Because it is a lot of responsibility when they put those bars on you and you have to lead people and you have to think, well, I could get people killed. Or I could make a wrong decision and cause a big, big problem. And then guess where it stops? It doesn't stop on somebody else. It stops on me. And so, guys, I think what this is saying is this is our family. And it's our responsibility to make some tough decisions. So, part of that is for us to treat our wives fantastic. Now, that's sort of hard. And I think I'm getting better at that. I'm still sort of a crusty old guy, you know. But I think I'm getting better at it, and I've had plenty of years to practice. But we've got to step up, and for us to get the respect out of our wives, the last part of it right here where it says the wife must respect her husband. You can't make somebody respect you. What you've got to do is you've got to earn that respect. And some of the things I'm going to talk about today, I sort of hope to put it out there on how we can get some of this respect. Because it's real, real important for us to earn respect, not demand it. Just as an army officer or a teacher or anyone else, a boss, gets respect. You can't demand respect from people. You can try, but it doesn't work. The only way to get respect is to earn respect. Okay, so let me just throw out some things. Life's full of contradictions, I think. And I want to just by a raise of hands on some of these. Do any of y'all ever, you're driving up somewhere and you let somebody out, when you let somebody out, what are they supposed to do to say thank you? Supposed to wave, right? And then as soon as they you let them out and then they don't wave, do you ever think, you big dummy, I shouldn't have let you out? Who thinks that sometimes? That's me. So you think that you're supposed to get, for those of y'all that don't know, you're supposed to give them the wave. If they let you out, you're supposed to go. Or you're like, thank you, man. Yeah, courtesy. Some people don't do that, and then you know, those of us that let you out, then we go, you know, I shouldn't have let you out. You know, I wonder if I'd get in trouble if I rammed them. Or years ago, I spent a couple of summers on crutches after a car accident. My knees got sort of messed up. But I'm hobbling up to a door, and I'm just worn out. And then somebody lets the door close in my face. And I'm like, come on, man. I hold doors open all the time, for not just for women and children, but for guys too, you know. You could at least held that door open. So then I'm trying to fight. And if you've ever been on crutches, it's a struggle. And you're trying to get that without falling down, and you're wobbling. And so that sort of makes you mad, right? And then you work with somebody, and you help them all the time at work. And then the one time or the few times that you have to ask for help from them, they complain about it. Or they give you the eye roll. You ever get the eye roll? Well, and then what do you think? You think next time you need some help, what's going to happen? And then, now this is a guy thing, and you guys understand this, and you women have probably watched this happen, and you didn't understand it, or maybe you understood it, but you think it's silly. But guys, you know, like you look at a guy, and you know, like you make eye contact with a guy, the thing you're supposed to do is like, and for Jim, you know, Jim's off somewhere, I don't know where he's at, but for Jim, I just gave the head nod, okay? So you give them the head nod. What are they supposed to do back? They're supposed to give you the head nod back, right? And then, but some guys, I don't know what it is, but they're like, you know, they want to try to show their dominance. And so they just look at you. And they don't give you the head nod back. And then you're like, have I not shown you my friends? Number one and number two? I just showed my fist, Jim. And so... sometimes you don't get the courtesy back. And then this is another one. You tell somebody good morning. You walk by and you tell somebody good morning. And then the guy, it's usually guys that do this. I don't know why. But this hadn't happened much, but it's happened a few times. And they say, what's good about it? And, you know, and so... you know, my natural tendency is, well, why don't you go ahead and, if you're that miserable, just go ahead and jump off a cliff, dude. Of course, you're supposed to be nice and say, well, you know, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. And so us guys, and I guess you women struggle with some of the same stuff, of the contradictions that we have. You know, sometimes we react the wrong way, and sometimes we react the right way, like the guy that says, you know, what's good about it? And I should say something like, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. I hope it gets better. But some day, you know, days I might say something like, well, just go ahead and drive your tree into a car somewhere. You know, you're miserable. So we've all got those good and bad that we fight with. And us dads, we're pretty rough about that. Or at least I am. And knowing some of y'all, I know some of y'all, and some of y'all, you know, you're perfect, so I'm not even talking to you. But the rest of us, we sort of struggle with stuff. Okay, so I'm going to point out a few different things. By the way, my kids and wife got me a watch for Father's Day, and they gave it to me last night, and my wife said, make sure and look at that thing when you're up there today. So anyway, I'll try to keep an eye on that. But there's a lot of things in life that we can't control, that we have no control over. But one thing, and the principal at my school, I love her to death. She is the most awesome woman. And she always says, There's one thing that you can always control, and that is your attitude. And I think a lot of how we respond and how we react to people in those different scenarios that I mentioned have to do with our attitude. And I've been trying over the years to work on my overall attitude. And I made up my mind a number of years ago that I'm not going to have a bad day. I'm just not. And if you ever think I'm having a bad day, then, you know, point it out to me. Kick me or something. But I'm not going to have a bad day, because I don't have that many days to waste. Who knows? And some of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You've had those times when the doctor said, hey, look, you've got cancer. And that happened to me when I was 22. They told me, they said, you have malignant melanoma. And I said, oh, okay. So what's that? I didn't know. I'd never heard of melanoma that I knew of. And said, well, that's a type of skin cancer. And I said, oh, okay, so not bad, huh? And he said, melanoma is not good. And I said, well, so what are you saying? And he just dig it out, right? And he says, well, maybe, maybe not. So anyway, I kept pestering him. He didn't want to tell me anything. And finally he said, all right, look, son, let me tell you. And I, at this time, I just graduated college. I went to a military college. And at the time, I was in pretty good shape. I could run and do exercise all day long. And I was pretty much bulletproof, I thought, as most 22-year-olds think they are. And he said, look, son, you might live to be 100 years old, and you might die in 6 months. He said, I really can't tell you right now. And I'm like, whoa. Is he talking to somebody else? Because I can't die. You know, this is way too early. I'm at the prime of my life. I just graduated college. I just got married. I've got a lot to do. And he said, you know, son, I'm sorry. I just can't tell you. We're going to have to do some stuff. So I decided sometime after that something that I can control is that every day I'm going to have a good day. I'm bound and determined. You're not going to ruin my day. You can make me mad, and I might have to. And that's what I tell my students sometimes. You may do something that makes me have to go off on you for a minute. And I might have to correct whatever bad thing is going on in my classroom. But then within 10 minutes, hopefully 5, I'm going to be back to my normal self, and you're not going to ruin my day. I'm going to be just as happy as I was before the incident started. So you make up your mind. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good time in this class. I'm going to have a good time at lunch. I'm going to have a good time on the way home. And you're not going to ruin my day. You have a good day too. I want you in my classroom to have a good time. That's my objective. I'm going to have one. Now you make up your mind that you're going to have a good time. And as dads, we've got to think about having a good attitude and not being the grumpy old dad that, you know, we've seen on television. The guy who's always doom and gloom or just a foul old guy. We've got to be the guy that hopefully peps up the house. And I think that's part of our job. And I'm not always the best at that, but I try. Because I don't want to be in a good mood at work and then come home and be the grouchy old dad. That's crazy. Again, we're full of contradictions, but I don't want that to be me. Because the people I love the most are within those four walls of my house. And so I don't want to give my best at work and then leave the bad stuff for home. So I think we have to control our attitude. And I think our attitude, which we have control over, is going to permeate through all parts of our life. And I think part of this is having a sense of humor. I think we need to laugh all the time. And if we can't laugh, do it anyway. Make up excuses to laugh. You know, ask your wife to pull your fingers sometimes, you know. I know, Connie, I shouldn't have said that. Is that okay? Tony probably never tells you that. But, you know, kid around. And you know, there are right ways and wrong ways to be humorous, but I think we can just laugh our way through life. If something bad happens, we can either cry or we can laugh. And I don't really like to cry, so I'm going to try to choose to laugh. Sometimes I might get mad, but then I think, I'm being silly. I'm being a silly old guy. I need to make something out of it. So I try to change it into something to laugh about. So a lot of times I'll make a joke out of something. But we need to have a sense of humor. And I think, as in a corporation or a school or the military, who sets the tone for a business? And who sets the tone for a school? I'm asking. The leadership, right? And so as a dad, when we come into the house, we set the tone. If we're old, long-faced, sad-looking, grouchy old dad, we're going to set the tone for the household, right? So we've got to set the tone and it be a positive attitude, humorous, fun. And again, I'm not the best at that, but I try. And I think I do a reasonably good job. I think I do better than the average guy. Probably not better than you perfect people out there, you perfect dads, but I'm trying. And also, we need to not be afraid to admit that we're wrong. As dads, our kids, I think, need to understand that dad makes mistakes too. And we need to say, hey, look, son, you know, I was too harsh on you. I'm sorry. You know, I just lost it for a minute. Or we say something. Somebody pulls out in front of us and we say something. And then, you know, oh, no. And you realize you got little ears around. You need to say, hey, look, you know, daddy made a mistake. I'm sorry. And we need to let our kids know that we're not perfect, but we're trying. We really are. Hopefully we are. And if we're not, we need to. We need to provide for our family. I think, now this is me, and I think I hold up to this. I think I need to be the hardest worker in my family. I think that I need to work hard at my job, but when I get home, it doesn't end. I think I need to be the hardest worker at my house. Wherever it's involved, I think I need to be the hardest worker, period, in my family. I need to outwork my wife and my kids all at the same time. Now, my wife may argue with you, but I don't think she'd argue a whole lot. I think I do. And I take care of a lot of stuff. Now, we compartmentalize our stuff, and she does her things and I do mine, but she helps me with some of mine and I help her with some of hers. But, you know, if we see something that needs to be done, we need to jump in and do it. And then we avoid a lot of arguments that way. But work hard and don't sit around and wait for stuff to just happen. Jump in. If you want it done, do it. And then maybe then when you ask them to do stuff, say, hey, can you take care of this? You know, they can't say, well, you sit on the couch all the time, you big lazy guy, you know. But, you know, they're going to know that you're out busting it. And so be the hardest worker in the family. I really believe that's part. And that's one of the biggest ways to get respect. Now, you can talk all day, but what talks a whole lot louder than our words? Our actions. I really believe that. And you know this from work, don't you? You watch your boss, whoever that is, and your boss's boss, and your boss's boss's boss. And you look and you say, well, when did they get to work? When did they leave? How often do they come in on weekends? How much extra time do they spend? Are they really in it to make this a better place? Or are they just drawing a paycheck? If they're just drawing a paycheck, they better not ask me to do a whole lot of stuff, because eventually I'll throw it back at them. But if they bust it and they give it everything they've got, I know that they're totally committed. And so they don't have to. All they got to do is ask me, "Hey, Scott, can you do something?" And I'll say, "Whatever you need." Like my principal, I brought her up before, but she is the best boss in the world. She is just an awesome person. And she never has to con me into doing anything or tell me. All she's got to do is ask, "Scott, can you do something for me?" Whatever you want. For one, I adore her. But also, she has everything invested in the school. And she gives it her heart, soul, mind, everything. And I know that. And so all she's got to do is ask me. I've worked for other people that I didn't feel that way about. But as a father, I think we have to do the same thing. They have to know that we're totally committed to this whole situation and that we lead by example. I think we have to be curious. We have to be lifelong learners. You know, we want our kids to do good in school, don't we? We say study, study, study. And then, you know, we watch television all the time, and, you know, we play solitaire on the computer or whatever we do to waste our life. Because, you know, a lot of things are a waste of life. And they're chewing gum for the mind. There's no nutrition in it. There's nothing worth anything in what you're taking in. It's just something to occupy a few hours of your day. And then we harp on our children about study, 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 make good grades. Why did you make a B? You should have made an A. No, come on now. Just because you're not in school anymore doesn't mean you just sit back and get dumber. I really believe that. Now, maybe this is just me, but as a father, I think we need to set the example. We need to try in whatever way we can to get smarter. And some people say, "Well, you know, I don't like to read." Well, reading is sort of tough for some of us. And I can speak for myself. Reading never came easy for me. Math was just so easy to me. But reading never did come easy to me. I had to force myself to become a good reader. And it was an effort. And I'm still not the best reader, but I can assure you, I go at it. And I'm always reading a few different books. And I've learned over the course of time to be a good reader. And to be and this is sort of an education term that's been stuck in there, but a lifelong learner. We need to try to set the example for our children to get smarter. And if you know, we can't know everything, and our kids need to know that we can't know everything, but say, you know, if they have a question, "I don't know, son, but I'll try to figure it out. Let's get on the internet. Let's look it up. Let's see if a black snake will swallow a copperhead, you know. Let's see if we can find that." And in the meantime, we might find something else that's interesting, but we need to try to set the example to be smarter people and not just be set on whatever we know up to now. And also, if I really believe that the mind is sort of like a muscle. You know, people ask me, my students want to ask me, they'll say, Can you dunk, Mr. Marcus?" I'll say, "Well, at one time I could dunk good. And I could dunk really good, I thought, for me, you know. But if you don't use it, if you don't use those muscles and you let it creep up on you, one day you go to the gym and you can't dunk anymore, and then years later, you go to the gym and you can't even get the rim anymore. And then And then you walk in one day and it looks like it's as high as the ceiling. And you know, how did I ever do that? Because I've let those muscles not be exercised. And our mind is the same way. I really believe that we've got to exercise our mind or it becomes jelly and just sort of like a jellyfish. So, okay. We can't provoke our kids to wrath. And let me read this to you. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with a discipline instruction that comes from the Lord. Okay, we've got to treat our kids right. And we've got to work on this discipline thing. And if we don't know how to discipline well, we need to ask people who have been successful. And my wife have done that over the years. You know, we've seen people that have just really, really good kids. You know, some people have horrible kids. And then you watch them and you'll say, well, I know what not to do. And then some people have, you know, like one kid that's really good and one kid that's just really awful. And you'll say, well, maybe it's just hit or miss. And then some people have three or four kids and they're all good kids. And you, so then you go to them and you say, hey, man, I got to ask you, what do you do? And over the years, my wife and I have done that with people, and we've gotten some really, really good input on it. And one thing we've got to do is we've got to spend time with our kids. Our kids have got to know that we have their best interests in mind, and our kids have to know that we really like them. I think my kids know that I like them. And in fact, my kids know I like them. You know, I get irritated with them, but I absolutely adore my kids, and they know I do. And I think they know that Dad would do whatever I had to do to protect them. You know, if a burglar breaks in, you know, it's not my wife's responsibility to take care of that. You know, you lock the wife and the kids in the bedroom, and you go out and you take care of it, whatever. I hope that never happens. But if it did, I've already worked it out in my mind what I'm going to do. And it doesn't involve them coming out of the bedroom. I'm going to lock the door on my way out. Somebody's going to get hurt. I hope it's not me. But they've got to know that we're looking out for their best interests at all times. And if they don't know that, then they're not going to respect us for it. And we can't just nag them to death. You know, nag, nag, nag. Doesn't work with bosses. It doesn't work with dads. It doesn't work with moms. You know, say what you got to say and be done with it. And we're all guilty of that at times. But also, we can't provoke them to wrath. We can't just pick at our kids all the time and just expect them to take it. You know, I'm guilty of that sometimes. You know, just love to kid around. But I also think that some dads, you know, expect their kids to just take a bunch of junk off of them. And we can't just torment our kids and our wife and expect them to take it. You know, we gotta be the example again. I got part of this down. I wrote, talk less and listen more. At home, I got the talk less down. The listen more, now that's sort of tough. You got to listen to your wife and kids. When they're talking about something, even if it's not, you know, the most interesting thing to you, Dad, you need to listen. Again, that's part of the respect thing. When you speak, you want them to listen. And if they're talking about something, listen to them. And I'm in a very vocally active family. Didn't I say that nice? I was so proud of that. Vocally active. My family loves to talk. And so sometimes I don't feel like I get a word in. And I'll wait for a pause, and there never is. It's like, you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, Somebody's got to stop somewhere. So eventually I have to say, all right, hold on just a second. Let me just let you know what we're doing or whatever. And I have to stop all three of them at the same time sometimes because they're all talking. So, but we need to listen. And we need to let them know that what they say is important. If not, we can't expect them to listen to us. I need to be a good husband. And I've got some Bible verses on this. But when we leave our father and mother, and there's a few different verses in the Bible about this, but Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We've got to remember that we left our mom and dad. And for those of you that are mom and dads and have kids out there, they left you. Not because you were bad, but because they've got their own family now. You're not in charge of their household. They make their own decisions, good or bad. And I know some of you don't like this, and one of these days I'm not going to like it. But that's the way it is, and that is biblical. Look it up. The kids leave the house, they make their own decisions, again, good or bad, and then you got to live with it. You give them advice, preferably when asked for, and they'll come to you for advice if they respect you, and unless you give it to them beforehand, and then then they won't have a chance to ask for it because you're always giving it to them without asking for it. But they'll come to you and ask, but you've got to respect their decisions to make their own mistakes because they're going to make them. And just, we all do. And I've made some pretty bad ones. But we've got to be good husbands. We've got to treat our wife with respect. And we've got to make sure that our kids do the same thing. I was talking to a kid the other day. I'm working with summer school some. And one of the kids, I asked him if he ever got in trouble at home, and he says, well, yeah, occasionally. And he said, mostly, I said, do you ever get smart with your parents? And he says, well, usually when I get in trouble is when I get smart with my mama, and then daddy gets a hold of me. And I said, well, you got a good daddy then, because your daddy has got to make sure that, you don't disrespect your mother. And at our household, me and the kids, we kid around a lot. And I don't allow them to, as long as they're smiling, we're usually good. If they quit smiling and then that's when it can get sort of rough. But if I hear them bad talking their mama or back talking, whatever you call it, then that's when it can get sort of rough. And dads, we got to stand up for our wives. We can't let the kids run all over our wives and just discipline when they do stuff against us. They've got to respect their mom, and if they don't realize that, that's our job. I believe that's part of that overall household mentality, that we oversee the household. And I know I'm about out of time, so I'm gonna throw out a few things real quick. How I treat their mama sets the example for how my son's gonna treat his wife one day. And I need to realize that. If I treat my wife bad, if I talk bad to her, if I downgrade her, then my son's gonna do the same thing one day. And can I live with that? That I'm the cause of maybe a divorce or a bad marriage. That would be my fault. And I've got to realize that. My wife always says something. I just think it's so intelligent. My wife's a music teacher, and she was a music major, and so she's sort of flaky, She's just sort of out there. She just sort of floats around, la 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 la, and which is wonderful because I came from a very logical family that we were pretty serious about stuff, and we kid around a lot, but overall you just work hard. That's all you do. You just work. You don't play a whole lot. You go on vacation for a week and you play, and then 51 weeks out of the year you just work hard all the time. And then her family just sort of floats out there, and she just floats. So she's a floater. But she says something really intelligent occasionally that I just, now she says a lot, but I just thought this was awesome. She says, having kids takes a small part of your life. Just a small little window of your life you have kids, especially small kids. In the first few years of those kids' life, by the time they're 5 and 10 years old, you've already set the standard for what's going to happen in their life, whether you realize it or not. And, you know, I teach high school. And parents will, I've had them ask me many times over the years in parent-teacher conferences, I think they're desperate sometimes. They'll say, well, Mr. Marcus, what can I do to get control of my kid? They back-talk me. They do whatever they want. They don't mind me. And I'll say, well, it's pretty, you know, honestly, it's too late right now, pretty much. The kid's 17 years old, bigger than you, stronger than you. There's not a whole lot you can do right now. Or sometimes I'll try to be a little bit more logical with them, and I'll say, all right, do they have a car? Oh, yes, they have a car. Take it away from them. Well, you know, that's a lot of trouble for me because then I'll have to take them to school and take them to ball practice. And I'll say, well, do they have a TV in the room? Yeah, take it out. Well, you know, they like to watch television. That's something to help them relax. Okay. Do they have a cell phone? Take it away. Well, you know, I like for them to be able to call me and let me. All right, so we're done here. So you won't listen. No wonder you don't take the stuff away that they want. And so you've got to make sure that you get control of your kids when they're small. But this is just a small part of your life. And you're going to have to inconvenience yourself for a few short years. And dads, and some of y'all, you know, I don't know. But somebody you like to play ball or golf or whatever. When the kids get out of the house, you can golf. But when they're at the house, you might need to stay, just play with the kids more. And I'm guilty of not doing that as much as I should, but I'm working. Very rarely do I do something just for my own entertainment. But as far as we need to make sure that we take that little bit of time out to help our kids grow up right. And I've got a friend of mine that likes to go out to eat. He loves to go out to eat. He likes to go on vacation and stuff, but he doesn't like to take his kids. And I say, kids like to eat out too. You know, kids like to go on vacation. Take them, man. They don't want to be left at home all the time. Your kids know if you like them because you want to spend time with them. If you're always leaving them with their grandparents or with the babysitter and you don't ever take them anywhere, don't expect them to think you like them. They know that that the first time you get a chance, you shove them off on somebody else, then they're going to think, well, Daddy says he likes me, but he doesn't really like to spend time with me. And I've learned that over the years with some of my parents of my students. The ones who have really good kids, it's because they see that their parents like them not just with words, but also with their actions. And they know that their parents like to spend time with them. And we don't want to go anyplace without the kids because the whole time we're talking about, oh, Cohen would love to see that. Oh, Nina would love that right there. So we got to spend time. We got to invest in our family. Guys, and we got to step up and be a man about this. Take control. But it doesn't involve a brutal hand. It involves a lot of love. And one of the biggest things I think we can do with our kids and our wives is hug them and kiss them and tell them we love them. I think that's one of the best forms of discipline. Hug them and kiss them and tell them, say, you know, baby, don't make daddy be mean. You don't want daddy to be mean. It's sort of like the Hulk, you know. Don't make me be. But you don't want daddy to be mean. You want the nice daddy or the mean daddy? Well, I want the nice daddy. Well, don't hit your sister or don't hit your brother or don't, you know, whatever. So we've got to set the tone for the family, guys. And until we do that, we can't expect our families to be what they can be until we do our part. Okay, I appreciate y'all patiently listening to me today. I want to say a prayer, and I hope all you dads have a wonderful Father's Day. And if I said anything that doesn't, because we're all different, that doesn't fit completely in your life, you know, just keep it in mind. I'm just telling you from my perspective, because that's all I got. It's my perspective. But we've all got to do things our way that's best for our families, whatever that is. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you that we've got a beautiful Father's Day and that we've got family that we can take care of and work hard for. And thank you for our wives and all the things that they do for our families. And thank you for our kids. And for those of us that don't have kids, you can get involved with other people's kids. In our small groups, we can get involved with other people's kids and help them raise their kids in a godly manner. Thank you so much for this country, and we pray for our leaders, and we pray for our military people. Please help bring them home safe. And thank you for this church and for all the good works that are being done here and all the praise that's being done toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.